what is the responsibility and the role of the partner when their significant other is going down a bad path when it comes to their mental health?
First, do no harm.
Yeah.
That's a heavy ass question right there. Because,
yeah,
how much are you responsible for your partner's mental health?
Yeah.
Don't I give you that rush? Keep that loving raw. Don't need no candlelight, cause you feel like the morning sun. There ain't no end in sight. Put that shit on my life. This ain't no fantasy. We living on the edge tonight. I told her lay down. We can make a movie now. This ain't audition. You tripping over your lines now. I flip the script. I'll be flipping you on your side now. I got a rolling. Your role is to take the time now. I got you dripping in a Tesla. You fucking up all the leather. I just checked. I got a checker. We fucking it up together. Don't lie. Don't I can't help but flex it off. I can't wait to break it off. I'm the only one to make you feel like you can have it all. Don't lie.
What's poppin', everybody?
Yeah.
How y'all doing out there? We had to do a part two. Last stream was a little crazy. And I pride myself on the person that has to handle the tech, and I was thoroughly embarrassed. So we had to redo it. And plus, JD had to run. He had to run on a flight, so we didn't get a lot of his input. So I just thought, let's just make a part two. And then plus, later on in the episode, we're going to have people call in, and not just a call in. We're going to have a video chat call in. So I'm really excited about that. That's going to be a first time where we actually get to go face to face with the people who listen to us. But yeah, how you guys feeling over there?
We're good, bro. I ain't gonna lie, bro. I'm tired.
You're stressed
as fuck today. I'm just tired. I had a long day. I did a podcast earlier that was intense.
Took him out.
It was intense. There's a lot of energy.
Was it good?
It's going to be entertaining for sure.
I don't know what this means, Los.
She is a very entertaining person. It'll be good, I think.
Okay.
Just a lot. Like, all right, I'll give you a quick story. All right. So we're shooting in the common area of her apartment complex. It was a really nice common area. But there's this guy that was working, and she was concerned that his talking was going to pick up on our mics.
Yeah.
And in order to persuade him to leave, she just started saying crazy off the wall stuff like, she was like, oh my God, last night I had the most delicious cum in my mouth. And I mean loud. Yeah. That's how we started off.
That's how you're going to get him to leave?
That was her strategy to get him to leave, is just because he was on business calls, and I just felt embarrassed and bad for the guy.
Okay, he's on business calls.
He's over there like, the clients will take delivery as soon as we have product available, and she's like, oh, my vagina. And I was just like, oh God, okay. I'm easily embarrassed, man. Like, if people haven't figured that out by now, I get embarrassed easily by other people, not by myself. I don't like, what I do is on me. That's fine. But when other people do shit, I get secondhand embarrassment like that, so...
Yeah.
I was just like, whoo. Yeah. Okay.
That's crazy. Well, I'm excited to watch it.
So, yeah, it was.
When does it come out?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, you got to let everybody know.
She wants to have us on there, so.
Let's go. You already know I'm ready for a good cum talk.
You'll enjoy it. Honestly, she's funny, though. That part just was so unnerved. It rattled me. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I was rattled. I'm not a morning person as it is, and like that's how I started my day off.
It's too early for this shit.
Like, man, like I like to start my day off with tea times, not right, yelling out
cum
times.
Cum times.
Anyhow.
Yeah, bro. We're good though.
We're doing great, Jared. Yeah. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You know, it's nighttime where I'm at.
I gotta ask, is it weird for you to see us at your house?
Yeah, it is a little weird. I mean, if you guys
really thought we were setting up, I'm like, that must be weird.
Yeah, it is weird. Like, if you guys really hate me, you could just steal all my shit.
Well, we stole some.
We took a few things.
We left you a few shit. Yeah.
You know, some things that we didn't really think you'd notice. So we'll see. Maybe you notice them, maybe you don't. If you don't, then we just came up.
It's valuable to us.
No, we'll return it. Like, oh, I thought it was valuable. I didn't want to leave it lying around.
Yeah.
Just watching it for you.
A little cleanup.
Yeah.
You know. See, looks like guys left in a hurry. It's all good. We, you know.
It's good times.
But we're chilling. We're good, bro. It's good to be back.
Yeah. So should we just jump into the shit show?
Oh, we can
if you want.
I think we should.
Let's get it.
Hey. Oh, I was expecting a hey from Jared.
I can't actually hear the music. So.
Oh shit!
Didn't you hit the button? No, you still can't.
I can hit the button just like you can't hear yourself.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Okay, so. We're going to switch things up a little bit today on the shit show. I asked if I could take the lead on it. I want to do something new, something special. First and foremost, I'm not going to acknowledge or spread light. Oh, the music's been off, Jay. You're still dancing.
Yeah,
music stopped.
I know.
Okay. Okay.
I was doing it too, Jared. I was over here going.
Can you imagine if someone just came in on that part?
What are they dancing to?
What the fuck's this dude doing?
What's wrong with them?
So yeah, exactly. You look like one of those things outside the dealership.
The wacky arm and the wacky arm guy.
Yeah. So we're not gonna pay any attention or give any light to the negative shit today.
It's not shit show.
It's the
flower offering.
Yeah,
it is. It is. How'd you know?
I just figured. You know, is that really what the name was?
It can be.
Oh, okay. I mean, I just figured.
It's,
you know,
the,
JD,
it's the flower delivery. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know to take that as a compliment or like.
What you mean? Oh, you're the flower guy. I put these flowers on the screen for you.
I appreciate it. And one of them is peonies, which is my favorite. I appreciate it.
See, but, I didn't even know what it was. I just knew JD would like this.
Oh, I do. I appreciate it. You know. All right. So without further ado, again, this is going to be, instead of the shit show, I guess, we'll go with the flower delivery.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Flower offering is better, but.
Flower offering. Okay, we'll roll with that.
I mean, I kind of like flower delivery, but hey.
I got two flower bouquets.
Okay.
I got one for you, Los, and I got one for Jay.
Oh, snap.
So we'll get an offering to Jay, and we'll give the delivery to Los.
Oh.
I'm going to do that before I get into the comments. So first and foremost, this is off from me. Los. I'm serious, bro.
What's up? Someone commented. I realized you guys are matching the flowers below you.
Oh, well. Me and Los are?
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Is that? Do I match?
I think this is a Yanny or Laurel situation.
Okay.
Because I see blue and pink.
Okay, go ahead.
I got green and pink.
Keep going. On the screen, it looks like you're matching from here. From my point of view.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So, to a fucking great start. Okay. Los, all real talk. Man, the last couple episodes, I have seen a different you.
Oh, thank you.
You seem to be way more comfortable on camera, on the mic, unapologetic, but in a very mature way, where your message still gets across, and it's not taken with offense. The episode that you led, I know the voting said otherwise, but that episode that you led was amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You came ready. You could tell you came ready. You've been coming ready. So I see it. I know everyone else does. I'm sure Jay does too. I appreciate it, man. I'm really glad to see it. And I've always told Jay in like separate talks, the more the three of us can be at our A game and aligned, the better the show will be.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I appreciate you, bro.
Thank you, bro.
You've been stepping it up.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
That's that delivery. We got a clap thing, right?
Yeah, I was afraid I was going to press the wrong one. Is this the right one?
If I hit it.
Yes. Good job.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So the flower offering for Jay, as you know, our fearless leader, but more specifically lately, I can't imagine how frustrated you must be the last couple of weeks with the technical difficulties, and I don't have the patience for it. I don't know if you do, Los, but like Jay, thank God, man, we got you, because none of this right now would be none of this at all would be possible without you. But damn sure the virtual sector of this Enjoy the Podcast thing we got going for the next month. So
it would be a fucking Skype call.
I don't even, it'd be a FaceTime. I don't know what the fuck would happen. So I appreciate the hustle. I appreciate the hard work. I appreciate you staying on it. Yeah. You're always evolving with the technology game. And I mean, I'm part of the show and I fuck with it and I appreciate it. So I can't even imagine our audience. So
on behalf
of all the audience and us, man,
let me sign my name on that card real quick.
So Flower Offering, appreciate all your efforts, bro. Even on vacation. I mean, you ain't got shit else to do, but I appreciate all the efforts.
It is quarantine, else, but,
you
know, but
yeah, but still, you could be at the beach.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'd probably be at the beach. Like, yeah, you definitely killed it with the tech stuff, bro.
You know,
appreciate it.
If it was left in my lap, we would have done a group FaceTime, and I would have screen recorded that bitch.
Right. like, hey, which beggars can't be choosers, right? But yeah, but that's real, bro. Like both you guys, I just appreciate y'all, and it was a moment the last couple of weeks. I'm just like, I'm so proud to be a part of this shit. So appreciate y'all.
Oh man, I appreciate it, bro. No, that means a lot. Yeah. It was frustrating. I took it to heart. I took it like we lost a game.
You took it way harder than
I saw it. Yeah. I saw it in him. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
I'm sure when you guys are here in person, but yeah, I saw it.
You know
screen.
Me, I was like, damn, sorry, bro. It's cool. Like,
it's not.
Jared's like, I'm hurt, dog. No. Don't ask me if I'm all right. Joaquin said dominate, and we ain't doing it.
Right. All right, so without further ado, let's get into some of the more flower deliveries and more flower offerings. This is from Miss Jessica Stevens. I strongly agree with Los's definition of feminism.
Hey.
A woman has the right to choose what she wants to do in life, even if that might veer from what dominant narrative is being portrayed by society or perpetuated by society.
Yeah.
You can and should go where you want to go. Next comment from Des the Loner. I applaud Los's candor and how unapologetic he is, especially regarding masculinity. I don't always like seeing men pandering to neo-feminism, but I appreciate that Los is not easily convinced. It reassures me in my own personal views.
Hey.
All while wearing a pink shirt.
Hey.
Sidebar, what's neo-feminism?
It's like the new evolution of feminism. Not that I'm super educated on it, but it's like, I guess like, just kind of the more aggressive new school, like
same like actions towards it
I'm very unqualified to define it, but from my shoot from the hip definition is it's the aggressive new feminism that instead of saying women should do what they want to do, it's kind of like this is what women should be doing.
Okay.
Pushing like, no, you shouldn't like, you know, you shouldn't necessarily be a homemaker. You should be able to go do, you know, go work at Fortune 500 company.
Wherever the man is working.
Which both should be true, but I believe neo-feminism, and I could be wrong, the comments will definitely correct me, but I believe that's kind of where the attitude is more on that end of the spectrum than it is towards the, you know, do what you want. You don't have to do this. You're able to do all of this attitude. Mm. But comments, let me know if I am dead wrong there because I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
All right, moving on. What's going on, everybody? Popping in real quick from Turks and Caicos, if you can't tell. To shout out the sponsor of this podcast here, Nutrafol. When it comes to hair thinning, you now don't have to choose between natural remedies and those that actually work. Because there is a holistic solution for men that promotes both healthier hair and whole body wellness without drugs or prescriptions. Did you know that there are 5 root causes for thinning hair? Nutrafol is the hair supplement that goes beyond genetics to target stress, hormones, nutrition, metabolism, and environmental factors that may be impacting your hair. Nutrafol is clinically shown to improve hair growth, thickness, visible scalp coverage without compromise. There are 21 ingredients in Nutrafol that promotes sex drive, better sleep, and less stress. So you get more benefits than just hair? In a clinical study, men showed progress and improvement in hair thickness and growth in just 3 and 6 months. It's a win-win. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code ENJOY to save $15 off your first month's subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. plus free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled NutraFol.com, and enter that promo code ENJOY and enjoy $15 off and some hair. Now go back and enjoy the show.
Miss Abigail Gomez, first, the show was not a disaster. Yes, it lagged a little, but it didn't make the show a shit show. Second, I agree with you, Jared.
But they weren't on the live. Los... they got the edited version.
That's true. Hey, what are you talking about? It's fine. I agree with you, Jared, that Los is doing an amazing job.
Yes, he
is. I appreciate his bluntness. Jared, you are doing your job well, and I'm happy you guys are doing a part two.
Hey.
And I don't want to butcher it, but Jamoy Crooks, J-A-M-O-I. Amidst the technical difficulties, I really enjoyed this episode. Probably one of my favorites. Los really delivered a sermon in this episode. He's really grown. Love it. Hashtag LDL. No, fuck with you. There's no hashtag LDL, but it should be. And then Miss Priscilla Rodriguez, Los's description on feminism was chef's kiss. I love this chef's kiss, man. I want to use it more. I just forget about it. It's too late. Perfect way to describe it. The ability to make the choice on how to live your life as a woman is what it's all about.
Hey.
And then lastly, Nilo, N-I-L-O-O.
It's on the screen.
Hyphen. It's on the screen. Los, exclamation point. Everything Jared said is true. You have an incredible ability to hear others' opinions, yet share your own in the most valuable and meaningful way. Each time I know you're about to share, I am eager to hear / learn from you. Love the two of you on this episode. Such a good conversation.
Hey.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate all those compliments, and I'm going to share something with the audience that I shared with both you and Jared when you guys had been talking to me individually, but these last few episodes, I've walked away from these episodes like, well, that was an episode. Like, I've left the episodes with, and it's funny because in the past, I've left with like, oh, yeah, that was a good episode.
Killed that.
Yeah. And then, you know, you watch it back and like, meow, meow, meow. And so it's funny.
I got you.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's just funny now that the episodes that I'm doing the best in are the ones that I walk away just kind of having a very, just, I guess I said some things today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, bro, I think that comfortability thing, though, is really shining through. You know, yeah. I think, like, you, from what the time I've known you, you already don't give a fuck. But, again, that, like, not giving a fuck in a disrespectful way and then a respectful way. And I think
I'm more comfortable being myself, I'd say, for sure.
Yeah.
It's
gotten
easier.
And everybody, I went through all the comments, and everyone loved it. You know what I mean? So, and I think we all need to take a page out of that book, you know, of just, again, not giving a fuck respectfully and sticking to our guns. But
or sometimes, man, disrespectfully, if it calls for it.
If it's necessary.
Yeah.
If it's necessary, you know.
Just like it's all about fresh and fit pussies.
I mean,
did you call them that or?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, so I missed that part. Okay, no. I heard insecure boys.
He said that also.
I said a lot of things.
Okay,
he said that also.
I was worked up.
I mean, you're not wrong.
It worked me into a frenzy that
you're not
day.
Wrong.
Yeah, that podcast. That's a special couple of guys right there. Boy. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Special folks. Anyhow.
Let's kick off this episode. last week, JD, you got cut off right when we started doing the topic of domestic. How each person should show up domestically in a relationship, a man or a woman. And I felt that, like, because you had to go, there was a tech issues, there was all these different things. Like, I didn't feel like you got
your shit off.
Yeah, I don't feel like you got your shit off. And I think it could have got misconstrued or you know, taken the wrong way, should I say. So I don't know if you want to, you know, just start going off with whatever you feel the man or the woman's role, or how you feel like in your relationship, how it shows up, how those roles play.
Yeah. So as I was saying last week, you know, being raised by a single mother, I saw Superwoman at all times who had to take the brunt of both gender roles. And that, I guess, planted something in me subconsciously then when dating seriously, that I kind of thought slash wanted my girlfriend, now, you know, wife, to embody a lot of those things. And
yeah,
unfortunately that was a recipe for disaster.
But to be fair, I think most men, most of us do that. They say you know, we look for the qualities that we appreciate in our mother and in a spouse. So that's
I mean,
it's normal behavior.
Yeah. I think the way I delivered it was probably, you know, off. But you know, I do stand by everything, but I'll try to unpack it a little bit more. But you know, again, as I was saying in therapy right now, it's really been pulling back the curtain and getting down to the root of the cooking thing for Shay and I. So right now it's been something that it's been prominent in our relationship, where I've asked Shay to cook more. I've always envisioned, you know, my wife to be the one who cooks for the family, you know, family meals together, no distractions, no phones on the table. Like, you know, we're both on that page and I've always wanted that. But pinpointing it more down to, again, as I was saying last week, how when my mom cooked for me, it was more than just a meal.
Yeah.
Right. It was an act of service. Speaking of love languages, you know, and I felt loved. I felt prioritized. I felt like not just me selfishly, but I felt like my mom prioritized our quality time together. Yeah. Another, you know, love language. So same then applied for Shay. It was like, love, when you make meals for us, it's different. You know, it's not just like, oh, here's some food, you hungry. It's just like, hey, I cooked this with love. I spent the time and I hope you like it.
Yeah.
You know, so it was delivered differently. And, you know, I was thinking, I'm like, well, people probably just think I sit on my ass after I called her Shay the Builder. People like, I just sit on my ass at the crib, like waiting for Shay to come home from
build
work.
Build that TV stand.
Hey, build this.
Cook me some dinner.
And turn the oven on. What you, come on, you know it takes a while to preheat. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just on some, whatever.
Get in the kitchen.
Yeah, which is the complete opposite, you know, like exactly right.
Don't do that. I cooked bacon naked one time. Horrible decision.
Have the screen on it.
Terrible decision.
Bro, you gotta have the screen on that.
Terrible decision.
Woo.
Terrible decision.
So, yeah, but you know, in our house, you know, there is no such thing for the most part as gender roles. Like, I am the domesticated one. Like, I clean all the time. I'm the one who's organizing everything. Also with the cooking thing, like, I do the grocery shopping. I wash all the dishes, you know? So it was like, I'm not saying I'm going to sit back while
what does Shay do?
All the work, right? I was like, look, love, if I go get the groceries and if I clean, you know, wash up with the dishes and wash up after you cook, do you mind cooking? You know? So there's a trade-off thing, but you know, at the end of the day, I don't know if I necessarily now believe in the gender roles and men are supposed to do this and women are supposed to do that. I was raised that way.
Yeah.
From other members in my family outside of my single mother raising me. And I saw it in my friend's household, et cetera. You know, a lot of the moms stayed at home. I've talked about this with Shay. Growing up, I fantasized about my wife staying at home with the kids. And then as I got older and or one of the relationships I was in, I was like, what if she doesn't want to? What if she still wants to work? What if she still wants to pull her own weight or provide in ways that she, you know, can and wants to? So, you know, all this to say, I've realized I have to unlearn a lot and learn some new stuff. And I am open to it. As I ended my monologue last week, it doesn't matter who gets the job done as long as it gets done. And as long as someone's not doing more of the work.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's somebody doesn't feel like they're being
split. Yeah, like an even share.
Yeah,
you know, so hopefully this makes more sense. I don't sit on my ass and do nothing at the house. You know, I am active as a husband. And if no one knows, well, not a lot of people know Shay, like I know Shay. Shay wouldn't be with me if I was some bum ass dude.
Yeah.
Demanding everything and complaining about what she's not doing.
Right? Yeah, so,
I just wanted.
I don't think people got that impression, did they? I didn't.
I saw a couple that was like, "What the hell is JD that JD did?" I can't. JD come on now. what does JD do then? You know, and I was like, well, first of all, there's more than two jobs in a house.
All we do is eat and put together things. IKEA
yeah,
things.
It's IKEA and the IKEA cafe. That's it, you know. So, but yeah, I just felt like I needed to unpack a little bit. I was rushed last week and thrown off with the technical difficulties. And you guys killed that episode. I loved what you both had to say. I loved the study you pulled, Jay. Of just generically speaking, generally speaking, these are kind of the roles. Yeah. But, you know.
I thought what you said was really interesting about, you know, the seeing what your mother did and taking that. And really, I mean, what really jumped out to me was I was like, damn, my mom cooked probably every day. And I did not appreciate it.
And, yeah.
And I wonder, like, I wonder if that trans, because now, like, when women offer to cook for me, so I'll just be like, like until I sit down and eat their food and I know if it's good or not, then I'm like, oh, she can cook. All
right.
But it's not a big deal to me. Like I almost would rather you not cook for me, because if I don't like your food, I don't want to be sitting there in front of you trying to choke it down. So, I don't know. It's interesting how childhood can shape, you know, what you expect and what you hope for.
And what you appreciate.
That's what I was trying to say. What you appreciate. You know,
it's interesting, Lois, you bring it up, because in talking to Shay about all this, when I first brought up, you know, if asking if she can cook more and doing it in the way of the superior man, I praised I love when you cook, honey. It's the best. I would love to get more of that. Right. Yeah. Not just like, can you cook more? Okay. Yeah. So anyways, but in talking further more about it, I said, what's interesting to me is like her mom cooked every day for her and my mom cooked sparingly.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just a little surprised that like you don't want to cook every day, but I was like, oh, you had it often you didn't appreciate it. Where someone coming in who wished and hoped for that craves it still, you know.
So and I will say I do like when I like to see real quick families Los, eating together.
The chat is requesting you get closer to the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I better here?
Yeah,
my fault. I do like to eat together, and I do like to be distraction free because I think that's a good thing to do. But I just, I don't get the warm and fuzzy that you get from it. I guarantee. Yeah. Like, cause it just, it doesn't, it's not something that I really appreciate.
For me,
for sure.
And that's what I was trying to say, you know, like, again, another thing is a key piece of context is, you know, being raised in the Midwest, it was just so traditional, man. Like half the women in my family didn't work. You know, they were stay-at-homes and were the cookers and the cleaners and all that. And the men worked and came home, brought home the money and paid the bills and sat on their ass and drank beer and watched the game.
Yep.
Like, that's what I saw growing up. I'm not saying it's the right. Obviously, I'm saying now I need to unlearn all of that and kind of unsee a lot of stuff. But I'm open to it. And I, you know, we have a space where we can all talk about our shit and we can get whatever off, whether it's childhood, current, or future. And so for everyone who maybe didn't understand what I was saying, or maybe I didn't say it correctly.
Yeah.
I hope this makes more sense. Like I'm giving you a story time of my childhood and what cooking means to me. I can cook, yes, and I do sometimes cook, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But when my wife cooks for me, I'm telling you what it does for me.
That's the biggest thing. I think a lot of times understanding people's perspective is just understanding why they want what they want. And you know, knowing that the difference is not you being like, I just want my woman to cook because that's what she's supposed to do. It's more or less like, no, I love when she cooks because it just shows a level of devotion, a level of love, a level of like remembrance of my childhood that I got with my mom, and it feels so good. And also, I don't know if you said this, but there's something like I saw a lot of times in the comments, people being like, well, you can cook. Or even I think Shay said, you can cook. You know, why don't you want to do it? You can get the same feeling, but it's different because
not the same feeling.
It's not the same. Exactly.
I'm giving the act of service as opposed to receiving the act of service.
Well, that too, but it's even further than that. It's like when Shay cooks for you, what it does for your relationship and the way that you feel about her and the way that it makes you feel inside because of everything you described with your mom is different than when you cook for her. When you cook for her, it's like, thank
Another
you.
Meal.
I'm grateful. You know what I mean? That's really what it is. But when she cooks for you, it's like, it just brings you back, and it's almost
it goes
like
straight to my heart. Yeah,
yeah. It's almost like some women love physical touch.
Eating your soul.
You know, exactly.
What'd you say, Jay?
Well, so I'm saying some women like physical touch and some men don't.
Oh, right.
And so, you know, when the partner that is not really into physical touch or doesn't really need it that much, but is grateful for it, and they come up and do the physical touch act on you, it feels good and you're grateful and it's like, oh, I like this. But when you initiate onto the partner that actually loves it and wants it, it feels different. You know,
yeah,
for them,
and that's just understanding your partner, right?
Yeah,
I mean, at the end of the day, and Shay, you know, after I butchered it a couple times initially, but Shay was picking up what I was putting down.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I remember in therapy when the therapist and I were working through putting our finger on it, which was my mom and what it meant to me as a kid, and I, you know, I always say what you lack in childhood, you seek as an adult, and I was still seeking that, and Shay was in tears listening to me explain what a home cooked meal means to me, because it's that different, you know? So, to your point, Jay, I could cook and I do cook and, you know, I do a lot of other things, but in this department, you know, I it means a lot more to me maybe than the average. So, I appreciate you guys. Let me just get that off, but we can move on.
Let's get into these voice submissions.
Oh, let's do it.
I can't hear it again. So
it's crazy. My mom used to tell me when I was younger, she was like, I feel bad.
Yeah.
As opposed to like your mom telling you no one's going to be as clean as
Oh, my mom used to say that same thing.
Same. Right? Same. Yeah.
So messy.
I feel sorry
Look
for
Look at your room. I feel bad
my
for
mine
your
was
wife.
More like, I feel bad for what you're going to demand and all that. But
joke's on you, mom. I don't have one.
Hey. I think the roles between men and women in a relationship should be whatever works best for the individuals in that relationship. There's no one size fits all in what a relationship should be, you know, despite what society tells us. I think the people should do what works best for them, and that could be different for everybody. You know, men, you know, relationship, you know, can be husbands that stay home and the women work, you know, or vice versa, you know, if that works best for you.
When you think about our grandparents and our great-grandparents' relationships, they worked because they were clear, defined roles. But I think nowadays, in the times that we're living in, the roles can be interchanged. I think the role of a woman is to be the nurturer. Is I always say that when a man has a really good woman, he feels like he can do anything because, you know, she's the person who's cheerleading him, who's telling him he can do anything. And then I think the man's role is really, probably more simply put, is just to be there, to lead them through anything.
A woman, to me, is usually the nurturer, the mother, the sounding board, the peace. And the man is usually the provider, the guidance, the stability, the leader in certain aspects. But it takes a strong man and a confident woman that they can coincide in those aspects to trust each other. And it's also interchangeable because what if he needs something or she needs something different on that day or at that time of their lives?
Subscribing to gender roles in 2022 is so fucking boomerish. Like, what are men and women's roles so that when there are lesbian relationships or gay relationships are just doubling up on roles and they have a whole vacancy? Absolutely not. That is not what happens. Come into the new age, please, and thank you.
Hey, come into the new age, please.
I think that we should acknowledge that there is some... There was some function to gender roles back in the day, right? Like, the wage gap is fucked up now, but it was even more fucked up 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, if you and your wife were both working, more than likely you'd be in a position to make way more money than she was. Right. There's probably a lot more jobs available to you back then as well. So, I think what she said is very true. I think it's something that people don't necessarily take into account, that gender roles actually served a point at one point in history where things were, again, they're not equal now, but they were way less equal back in the day. So, shout out to her.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it was the second voice note with the British, maybe Australian accent.
Australian, I think.
Yeah.
Australian. Yeah. I love what she said, too. It was just great points all around.
The roles have evolved a little bit, but there's still some roots in those, I think.
Yeah. And go ahead, Jay. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, the new year is a great time to focus on what's most important to you. Whether it's saving money by ordering less takeout, eating healthier, or even learning how to cook, HelloFresh is here to help with simple,
delicious recipes that make cooking at home enjoyable. Now, HelloFresh offers 50-plus menu items every week, so there's always going to be something that's going to suit your palate or your diet. You know, whether it's vegetarian, I mean, let me see. There's so much, I have to actually read it. They have veggie, calorie smart, family friendly, gourmet options, recipes like hibachi, sweet boy, bavette, steak, and shrimp. Shoof, you're getting restaurant quality meals brought right into your home. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to wait in lines. There may be a screaming baby at the restaurant. You don't have to hear that screaming baby anymore, unless there's a screaming baby at your house. I'm just saying, you know what? Take it from Los. With great options like that, plus the ability to easily change the types of food that you want, how much you want of it, when you want it delivered, right within their app, HelloFresh is the perfect at-home meal delivery plan. So at this point, you're probably wondering, Los, how do I get this deal? How do I get these delicious morsels delivered to my house? Well, right now, I'm going to tell you, okay? You can go to HelloFresh.com/Enjoy16. Enter our promo code, Enjoy16. You'll get up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/Enjoy16. Enter our promo code, Enjoy16. You'll get up to 16 free meals, 3 free gifts. You cannot beat it. Remember, check them out. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kits.
Well, you know, I think, you know, they're both truths can be true. Yeah. And so it's one of those things where we don't ride in horse carriages anymore because we have cars. Mm-hmm. But there's times when it's nice to go on a horseback ride. You know what I mean?
It's just one of those things
where it's like, you know, yes, there's a lot of parts of it that are bad, but there's also some real things that can serve us, and demonizing it all the way can also, you know, be just as bad. But I want to pivot now. You know, we did the domestic, we did the joints, you know, of sexuality, but now I want to kind of jump into mental health. And the real question is how, what is the responsibility and the role of the partner when their significant other is going down a bad path when it comes to their mental health?
First, do no harm.
Yeah.
That's a heavy ass question right there. Because,
yeah,
how much are you responsible for your partner's mental health?
Yeah,
I mean, you share a role in it for sure. Right?
1,000%.
Your actions and how you interact and deal with them is going to influence that. So, you bear a responsibility in that department as far as how you interact with them to be. To have healthy interactions with them, to be, you know,
and not to add fuel to the fire.
Yeah, so I don't know how much of it is like if your partner is in a spiral, outside of being supportive and encouraging them to seek whatever help is going to work for them, whether it's coming to me, getting therapy, whatever it might be. I don't know how much more responsibility you bear in that because people do at the end of the day have to make the steps, right? I can't drag you to therapy. I can't make you happy.
You were brave even to kick it off. Yeah. You know, obviously neither of us are qualified in the mental health space to give any type of suggestion, advice, whatever.
It's how to deal with your personal demons.
I'm going to hit it with like, what I would do if I was faced with a situation like that. I think the first thing is really trying to hold the space for my partner, first and foremost. Like, I may not understand. It's like Black Lives Matter. You know, when white people are like, I don't know what to do. And then there was a phrase that said, like, I understand, I don't understand. But I'm willing to understand, kind of, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I understand, I don't know what you're going through, whether it's depression or bipolar or whatever, and I respect that. I'm just, so you know I'm here to learn and to be. How do you need me to show up for you?
Yeah.
Let me break it all the way down. How you need me to show up? Do you need me to show up with my mind? Yeah. Do you need me to show up with my heart? Or do you need me to show up with my ears?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I'm here to help you. I'm here to show up for you. And also, I think it's that level of grace and understanding that whether it's there's medicine involved or not, when this person is having an episode, It is not them. It is the disease, right? And not taking that personal.
Yeah.
And as I was saying, I thought you were kind of going, Les, I didn't mean to like throw you off if fine. I did, but you know, it was like,
steam.
We can't add, yeah, we can't add fuel to that fire.
Yeah.
Mm. It's already on fire, you know? So, and also, and
sometimes
I'm not going
to
be,
to do.
Yeah, and I'm also not going to be quick to put it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I just want you to know I'm here. However you need me to. So I think
I'm trying to contain it, help you contain as much as I can, but I can't be the one to put it out. Cause are you really, or can you truly put it out? And,
but even if you do, that's not sustainability. Cause it's not coming from the source.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, cause I can turn down the flame if we're looking at a fire pit right now, but when I'm gone, you can turn it right back up.
What's tough about a lot of times when somebody or your partner is going through something, and their mental health is suffering, they're in the mud. So, you know, I think the only issue with asking them, hey, well, how can I show up, is sometimes they just don't know. You know, when you're going through something, you're just like, I don't want to have to, I can't even help myself. How can I explain to you how you can
you're
help
in a
me?
Hurricane getting thrown you know, around. Like, it's like, I can't tell you which way I'm supposed to go.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm just trying to keep my head above water right now. So I don't lose my shit. And I think it's very important as the partner, you know, you're the next closest thing to your partner, and understanding. And so I always like try to, you know, go through it. It's one of the toughest things to go through in a relationship is when one person is suffering in their mental health, because the reality of it is there's very little that you can actually do. Now there's things you can do. You have to be there to support them in ways like you have to really know your partner. Some people, when they're going through tough times, they just want to lay down and not think, you know, they don't want to worry about work. You want, hey, I'll take care of what you got going on. You know what? Don't worry about cleaning. Don't worry about doing nothing. Just chill.
I'll cook for you tonight.
I'll just chill, you know, or you just chill and I'll take care of these things. Some people, they want to get up and move. Sometimes they feel better when they're getting things accomplished. Right. Sometimes they feel better when things are happening. So you got to really be in touch with your partner and knowing what they need to get out of a funk. And then a lot of times it's just going to people that are around them, like people that have been in their lives longer than you. You know, and the sucky thing is just what I was saying before is like, there's not really much you can do because it's an individual sport, but at the same time, it is your responsibility to help them through that because now we're one, especially if you're married, we're one. When you're having a bad time, I'm having a bad time.
Or
you know?
Jay, if you have kids.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we are a unit, a family unit.
Yeah.
Jay, go ahead and finish. I have a question for you guys.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm good.
So have you ever, it's never happened to me personally. I've heard it from friends that it's happened. It's usually female friends that it happens to also. Mm. But have you ever encountered a situation where a woman tried to leverage you with self-harm? Like saying, if you leave me, I'm going to kill myself or something like that. I've had female friends tell me that they've had exes say that type of shit to them.
I think I have been in a situation. It wasn't a relationship. It was a dating. Oh, wait. Yeah, I have. I have been. It's
question there. I mean, it's a little bit of a detour. But how much? Like, what do you think the appropriate action there? So, when I heard that story before from people, it's gonna sound fucked up. But I was like, call their bluff.
Mm.
Like it's
no, don't do that. Don't do that.
If somebody's fucked up in the head and they're not healthy for you to be around, they're like, well, if you leave me, I'm going to kill myself. Like, all right, well, leaving. So
yeah. Well, that's an issue. That's a whole issue of itself. Oh, yeah. You know, I had a friend that went through that, and it was a woman, and the guy was like, you know, I'm going to kill myself. I'm at a bridge right now. Da 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 da. And she called the police.
No,
no.
Jesus. You need a hand?
Wait. She called the police.
Yeah.
Okay,
she called the police. It did more damage though. Because the police did is they took him to the crazy house.
5150 and made him get a psych eval, and then that probably fucked
and
up
he
his
had
job
to spend,
and all that shit.
He had to spend a weekend in a crazy house.
In evaluation, yeah.
Right.
And so think about how much mental damage that does to that person's mental health. Now, it's not your responsibility. If that person was to jump, I wouldn't call the police, but I would call their mom. I would call their best friend. I would call somebody that's close to them that I'm like, hey, I'm choosing to remove myself from this person's life. You're still in this person's life. It is your responsibility because that's your friend. You know what I mean? So, hey, you know, your friend is dealing with something. You need to be involved here. But yeah,
I learned something. I won't call anybody's bluff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's
well, the chat is agreeing with you, Los. They want to kill everybody. So,
oh, Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Everybody chose violence on this Wednesday.
I mean, if you're gonna suicide bomb me, like, that's fucked up. Don't put that shit on me. You put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
What about pivoting back to the responsibility of your responsibility in a relationship where your partner's mental health. What do we think and or feel about leaving or staying? Should I stay or should I go?
Should I go?
When you've had X amount of years dealing with this, you don't see it getting better. Let me just paint the picture a little bit better. The person is trying to get help.
Yeah.
Right. Because it'd be different if someone's like, I am who I am. Fuck you. You know, this person is trying to get help.
I'm going
to
kill myself. Like, fuck you.
You ain't going to cook for me? Okay. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah. So,
darkest episode.
It's like Euphoria, bro. I'm fresh from Euphoria.
That first episode was fire. And I'm not really into that show like that. But that first episode was fire.
With it, but Jesus.
Lois, you should watch it, bro. I know you're not into it, but you should watch it.
I'm all right.
Yeah. Okay.
JD. Yeah, so, I'm going to let you finish your thought, but a lot of people are commenting and saying they want a full episode about this. So, just keep that in mind.
Okay. We got to have a professional on for it all. Oh, that.
Yeah.
But no. So again, I'm just going to paint this picture. I want to hear what you guys think. If we are in a relationship that's been long enough and our partner is dealing with some mental health issues.
Yeah.
A serious relationship. Okay, serious relationship. And our partner is trying, you know, they're getting help. They're trying to work through it. And, you know, you're being expanded in ways that you know you can't stretch anymore. Do you have,
like, what's your responsibility?
Yeah, like,
do you have to stay?
Do you have to stay?
I think once you are starting to be negatively impacted, I guess there's a threshold that you have to meet, right? That you have to reach, and that's all that varies person to person. Real quick, like, I guess for me, it would just, you know, there'd be a limit that I could put up with.
Boundaries.
Okay. And once you start to get to a place where now you're impacting my mental health, like, I'm not able to just hold a space for you, but the space that I'm holding is actually, like, causing
me
harm.
Right.
That's when I think you can just start looking at different options.
That's good.
The only issue that I have with, you know, asking the question of should I stay or should I go is...
Beautiful people, this podcast is proudly sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. We talk a lot about BetterHelp on this show, and for good reason. And this month, we're going to be focusing on the stigma of mental health. So when it comes to therapy, as I've said before on the show, a lot of people wait until it's too late. A lot of people wait until the relationship or their life is just unbearable and they can't take it anymore. But why not try to be more proactive and try to prevent these same problems that continue to happen as opposed to chasing them over and over and over? We've also been taught that mental health is not and should not be a part of normal life. But we know that that's not reality. We all go through things in life. And so we sit there and we go to the gym. We focus on our external figure and how we look. We'll hit the diet every now and then and make sure internally we're feeling good. But what about the mental component, which, to my opinion, and I'm sure you guys can agree, is the key component to it all. Now, we all know that I am Mr. Therapy, a huge advocate for it, and I will stand by that. It's changed my life in so many ways, whether it's romantic relationships, friendships, career, and even my family. It gives me an ability to understand more than I need to, unlearn and relearn. And then in my personal favorite is to be able to be understood. So why not give it a shot? What do you have to lose? In my opinion, it cannot get worse than what it already is. Where you are in your life right now, it can only get better if you feel that you've hit rock bottom. BetterHelp is customized online therapy, and it offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. So again, let's give it a try, and let's see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. Again, this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and you already know we got you covered. Enjoy the podcast. Members get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/enjoy. That's BETTERHELP/enjoy. Now let's get back to this episode and see if we can get a little bit more clarity. Otherwise, I may have to have a therapy session after this.
People will use that to keep you when they're not serious.
Right.
So that's where it gets tricky, because there's manipulators out there who are like, like, you know, I'm about to do it. I got the pills in front of me right now. You know what I mean? And it's like, they're not really about to do it. They're just saying that so they can get a reaction out of you to feel your like attention. You still care. Yeah.
Well, and that's what I mean. Like, after somebody's cried wolf on me so many times, eventually it gets to a place where it's just like, all right, well, like, I'm not going to keep doing this with you. It's starting to impact me now. Like, I can't keep every time that you have this, the, you know, smallest inconvenience, all of a sudden it's, you know, the pills are right here. Like, then take them. I can't do it.
I'm out.
Yeah. I agree with both you guys. Lozier stands out a little bit more. The first part of it, if it's affecting, you know, I've always said, if it no longer serves you, you need to let it go.
Yeah.
In this case, it's a little bit different. It's a little more colorful. It's not as black and white.
Yeah.
But if it is affecting now my mental health, because it's like one of us needs to hold it down.
Yeah.
And now if both of us are down, the ship's going down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And probably faster than it would. So I think... Oh man, that's so hard.
I mean, I've had a situation similar to that where it was a friendship that
same.
What?
It was, yeah.
They threatened to kill themselves out of because you didn't want to be their friend.
No. Where and it wasn't a mental health thing. It was more so where me being there for this person as a friend and how they needed me to show up was causing me more harm than it was good.
Right.
To a place where I basically challenged this individual, like, look, I need you to be a better friend to me. Or I can't keep doing this because it actually hurts me to hold this space for you because of the way that you reciprocate the friendship.
Yep.
And
how was that received?
Well, it's we're not friends anymore.
And
the crazy thing is, this person would have said it themselves. I don't know if they still will now because of the nature of the friendship, but this person would always say, oh, you're one of the best friends I've ever had. You're always there for me. Like, could go down a list of all the great things that I do. But when I made it clear to her that the friendship wasn't serving me and that I needed her to step up as a friend, or we had to, you know, cut it. Initially, she was like, oh, wow, like kind of surprised. But then she stanced up on me was like, well, I'm over it. And I was like, okay.
She quit her job before she got fired.
If you're over it, then that just shows me. But that to me, it hurt, but it was very telling. It showed me that even though I played a part in my own downfall because I was cognitive of it. It was a little bit of cognitive dissonance. I knew that what I wanted and what I was saying were not aligning and that I was allowing this to happen. But that reaction told me a very uncomfortable truth that I did not want to accept the whole time. And that was, she values this friendship in a way that is minimal. And in my head, I wanted to, and the reaction told me that right there, because if I am this person that you value and you care for, me telling you that holding this space for you is hurting me should change the behavior.
Right.
But if it doesn't, in fact, if it emboldens you and makes you instead, you know, nut up and say, well, fuck it, then I know where you stood the whole time, regardless of what you said previously.
Man, that's so real, Los.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are relating to that. I have in my mind right now, people who need love the most have the most fucked up way of showing it. And your friend really needed love. And in that moment of a vulnerable, a crossroad moment, she chose to try to seek control and to try to not get hurt. No matter what, I'm not gonna, oh, you wanna, okay, fine. Like, you know, that buck up mentality. And unfortunately, deep down, her ego, or deep down, covered by her ego, was she was hurt, she was sad, and she was probably in agreement with you, like, I know, but I can't ask for help. Type of thing. So that's real, man. That's a, I appreciate you sharing that. I had a similar situation. You know, I went over it with when Stefan was on, you know, when I had a falling out with that guy. And I remember the last conversation was like, he's like, man, you've been distant. You haven't been hitting me. Like, you haven't responded to my whatever. And I was like, bro, I mean, all right, we gonna go, let's do it then. I said, look, you know, I just realized where I'm at in my life and where I want to be. There's tendencies and behaviors that you give off that I don't align with.
Yeah.
And I know you're better than that. Yeah. And I just know I'm here in any kind of way I can to help you work through some stuff. You know, I'm your boy. Let's, you know, roll up the sleeves. Let's get to work. I'm with you. And it was defensiveness. What are you talking about? Denial. And then, you know, I'm not on your fucking podcast, you know, the infamous line. Thought I was trying to, like,
I'm not on your therapy fucking him podcast and some shit.
But, you know, but I, you know, hanging
but the
up,
people are
right. Hanging up from that call, I had that moment of like, this cat needs so much love and embrace and someone to try to understand him with him.
Yeah.
And he just won't ever admit it and will never show it, you know? And it was sad, man. Yeah.
Unfortunate.
I mean, yeah, that's speaking of dark, but yeah, back to the mental health thing. And should you stay or should you go? I just think, you know, circumstantial, obviously, because I think of like, if you have a family, you know, like I have another homie who's friends with someone whose wife and mother of their two boys, so there's the four family. Picture perfect marriage, family life, wife, she was amazing, great job, six-figure job, killing the game, everything is great. You would say couple goals.
Yeah.
She had something happen in her life, can't remember what it was, and it triggered something where she became an addict in some heavy drugs.
Yeah.
And
a simple injury and...
Yeah,
gave her some pain.
Something happened. Yeah, something happened, and she went down there and never came back. And is actually in a mental institution. Damn. And he was like, "This is the mother of my kids. We've been married for 10 plus years. I got two little boys.
Like, what do I do?
What do I do?
Yeah,
you know." And he ended up leaving her because it was to the debt. She was causing harm to the boys. You know, he's like, "I can handle the backlash and the." Yeah. And the reaction and stuff like that, but I don't want my kids to be in this type of environment, you know? Yeah. And so my mind went there for a second, like, you know, when it's that real, what do you do? But again, to your point, Los, like if it's a situation where it's harming you or in my example of the story, your kids.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
Yeah, you can't.
Kids are number one.
Yes.
Before yourself, number one. So if you're causing harm to the child, it's over.
No, he's a new dad. You can tell he's fresh.
You're the number one. You're falling with your baby. You take the hit. You take the hit.
Oh, they don't know that story. They don't know that story. I didn't even tell that story yet.
I can feel that fall just coming off of you.
I got
now.
The you're cuts like, and bruises to prove it.
See, kids are number one. Yeah. Derek can show you.
And when you fell, Ryu's probably like, hi.
Yeah. Yeah, she in 2 minutes she was already like up playing. I'm still on the ground, right. Like
still in the same spot.
Send help, right? Send help.
I'll tell you that story another time, maybe for the Patreon people.
My bad. Really quick, Jay. Are you guys good with the mental health part?
I'm trying to get into this clip and get to these calls.
Oh! Really quick, I maybe have a fourth idea for us.
I got
For the roles.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It was because I love what you guys are talking about can men be in a relationship where it's led by women and can women.
They
be
want
a
interesting. No, that's a full episode, JD. That's an episode. Okay, yeah. Cool. We can't just roll past that one. So I got a clip that I want to play you guys. Now, warning. It's going to be triggering. Just going to let you guys know that right now. So if you want to click off, I hope you don't. But if you want to, I understand. Actually, there was a study that said that warnings don't actually help.
They probably make it. I was saying, if
anything, people are now like,
you're like,
what's gonna bother me? I want to hear it.
Yeah,
we're not doing that don't help. But anyway, so we're about to get into this clip. Right after this clip, we're gonna bring some callers in. So if you have sent, hopefully Lauren sent you guys a link. You guys can start tapping them in there. I'll bring you guys into the little room before you guys come in. And let's watch this clip in the meantime. And it should get interesting.
Most women are trying to be the leader. That's why you can't find a man. You can't be the king in the house. Fall back and be the queen and let your man lead the way. It's a generational curse in how society have placed our men. And women have to stand up and be the mother and the father and the provider. And so then now you are so bad, you can't be told nothing, that when the right man come, you lose him because you're trying to be the man.
Michelle,
thanks for calling in.
Huh?
Thank you for participating. Right. It's our first video call.
Yeah.
Ever.
You're first.
You were the first, Michelle.
Number for one. Look at you.
Good
that
for you.
Good.
Yeah.
I've only been right. part of your community for a couple days on Patreon, so.
Welcome. Oh, that's good. Welcome. I mean, what do you think? How do you think you show up as roles in your relationship? And then even further than that, like, you watched the clip. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah. So when this question was brought up, I really wanted to hop on it because it resonated so hard with what I've been dealing with for the past year. I've been in a couple different relationships. I was with my son's father for 9 years, and to this day, people think that he is homosexual because how feminine he is. Now I'm in a relationship with a man that is way more traditional. So I feel like I have experienced both roles very heavily. And coming out of a relationship where he didn't care if I cooked, cleaned, but I knew I never had to argue with him to do it as well. It was just very common in our household to just be there for each other automatic. We never had issue in that. Now I'm in a relationship where it's almost like an unspoken rule in our house to have the traditional gender roles. And when, like I commented earlier, when JD was explaining how it felt for him, it literally made me cry. I'm sitting in my car like, God damn, like, oh, wow. Maybe that's how he feels, because to this day, he talks about his mother cooking like it was the best thing in the entire planet. Like, he grew up in a somewhat single mother home because his father wasn't there. And until yesterday, when JD made that comment, I had resentment inside because I'm like, this nigga never wants to cook. Or why is it always my job? I'm a business owner. He's a business owner. I have a 6-year-old that's from somebody else, and I'm doing all these things, but he still is like, cooking is the biggest thing for him. And so hearing that perspective from JD just gave me like a whole eye opening. Like, I haven't even gotten to talk to him about it, but it was like, okay, I get it now.
I come from a line of households where my mom, my grandma, all my aunts would say, the most important thing is that you're independent, you're financially independent, because they all got trapped in relationships where it wasn't happy, but they didn't have options. Like, I think Lowe's mentioned earlier, like, women didn't have jobs, you couldn't get a credit card. So like, you didn't have an option. And so I kind of grew up with like the fear of ending up in a relationship like that, which I think also just pushed me away from even fulfilling gender roles that I felt comfortable fulfilling. So I think something interesting in my case is like, I was in a long-term relationship where the guy was a lot more traditional. And because I felt obligated to fulfill a certain role, I hated it. And I just couldn't do it. But now that I'm in a relationship in Latin America and our relationship isn't about obligation, I find myself fulfilling a lot more of the quote unquote traditional roles, because it's not about gender or obligation, but because I just feel fulfilled and I want to fulfill the other person. I thought something that was interesting that I always find interesting in those clips is they talk about like who's leading. What does that even mean? Like, it sounds like we're going to war.
Oh, there it is. Hi, everyone. Okay. I've been following you since the beginning. I'm very excited to be here. I just wanted to like bring in a different, something that I've been thinking about when it comes to gender roles and specifically the intersection between gender and race, and how, I don't know if you guys have thought about whether different racial groups think of gender roles in different ways and how that's affecting the dating life of certain people. I'm thinking of the Black community specifically, about how I think there's a pretty sizable divide in what Black men want out of their, like, what kind of gender role they want in their household versus like Black women, and how that might be affecting the Black dating community. I don't know if that's sparking any conversation or whether.
No, I think there's definitely something there. I haven't spent much time dwelling on it, but I do. I definitely see a difference in what the women who I usually date, which are usually Black women, their expectations for gender roles versus, like, even I'd say some of, you know, my cousins or family members. I definitely see, I think white people, and I mean, they can correct me better if I'm wrong, but I do think white women are probably a little bit more comfortable in the gender roles, the traditional ones, whereas I don't think as many Black women have had that example given to them of being able to be a stay-at-home mom. I know most of my friends, my Black friends come from single mother families.
Yeah.
So they, you know, their mom was the mom and the dad, so to speak. So she didn't get to be the traditional gender role. Whereas I'd say almost all of my white friends come from two parent homes where the dad went to work and the mom was, the homemaker. Mm-hmm. So I do think, and I'm sure that there's much more intelligent people than me that could probably back that up, but I think that that probably does play into a role because of how you're raised and what you're afforded the opportunity to see and experience versus somebody who, you know, that's a TV show to them.
Right. That's a great point, Los. I got nothing. That's a great, I'm with you. I agree.
Yo, shout out today. Sorry I had a dip. I was on daddy duty. But today was a great episode. I actually really enjoyed it. I'm sure you guys did too.
Yeah, it was nice.
Also, we're almost at 500 members on Patreon, and you know what that means.
That's what I wanted to talk
about.
Wow. Oh, there he goes. Tell there him, he Jay. Goes. Now no, he's hyped.
Him, what does it mean?
You know, you reminded me.
What's it mean, Jared?
When we hit 500 members, I will be getting a tattoo of Enjoy.
Hit the bomb. Hit the bomb. Hey.
And
when we hit 1,000, are you...
I mean, honestly, 500?
I'm
going to
veto. I'm going to veto that. If you hit 1,000, you're not
no,
shaving
no, no,
your
no.
Head.
Attack.
Oh, no.
I mean, I might do the five. How big is the Enjoy tattoo?
It's whatever you want, and it's on your body.
I might do the Enjoy tattoo with you.
You know, Shay asked me that, like, what I would need to get an Enjoy tattoo. And it's not, this no offense to Enjoy. It's just like, you know, it's a tat. Yeah. I said, I would need to be bringing in 10 G's a month to get an Enjoy tat.
Okay.
From Patreon alone. I don't know how many members that is.
It's different for me. Right, it's now. Really, I would get the, I would
I
get
mean, it's
this
different
tattoo
from, yeah,
without,
I'd say it's different
without,
for us because.
Don't say that, yeah. Jared. Don't say that. It ruins the whole thing. Edit that out.
I would
well,
not
now,
have
well,
gotten
now we
it.
Get 10,
I would not have gotten
you.
It 6 months ago. Here, I would not have gotten it 6 months ago, even though this is, I've been rocking with Enjoy for years now, and it's been something that we've
what's
been
changed?
Building up. What's changed?
It's a good word.
It's a
great
word.
Word.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel a
closer. Oh, Martha said if we get 700, I'll do it too.
Oh,
hey,
shit.
Martha. Okay.
Oh, shit.
All right, well, make your appointment for March because we're rolling. We are rolling, man.
Tramp stamp. I'm getting a tramp stamp. Enjoy that.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? That's right. Hey, right. Hey.
Well, like, comment, subscribe, leave some comments on the audio. If you are an audio listener, we appreciate you. And check out the audio because there's bonuses on there that you will not get on the video. There's extra clips, not clips, but audio clips, I guess. Not video clips, but yeah. There's just extras in there, you know? So check out the audio as well.
Appreciate y'all.
Thank you guys. Have a great night. We'll see you next time.
Tell your grandma. I give you that rush. I keep that loving raw. Don't need no candlelight because you feel like the morning sun. There ain't no end in sight. Put that shit on my life. This ain't no fantasy. Be living on the edge tonight. I told her, lay down. We can make a movie now. This ain't not this shit. You tripping over your lines now. I flip the script. I'll be flipping you on your side now. I got a rollie. Your role is to take the time now. I got you dripping in a Tesla. You fucking up all the leather. I just checked. I got a checker. We fucking it up together. Don't lie. Don't I can't help but flex it off. I can't wait to break it off. I'm the only one to make you feel like you can have it all.